Moncrief on News Talk.
Last year, Saudi Arabia executed 345 people, most of them through beheading. Women aren't allowed to venture out alone, and public dissent of any sort is met with imprisonment or assassination. The Saudis are also keen on kidnapping people from other countries. It's hilarious, which no doubt is why a number of high-profile British and American comedians have agreed to take part in its first comedy festival. Liam Kelly is a senior culture writer for the Daily Telegraph. Good afternoon, Liam.
Afternoon.
So does this start today? How long does it run for?
Yeah, it starts today and it runs for the next 10 days or so. And, so if anybody's in Saudi, there's a lot of comedy to choose from.
And is it in one venue or is it scattered out over an area?
There's a couple. There's one really rather small venue that's got about 600 odd seats. And then there's another that's got about 5,000. Both of them are in a weird district of Riyadh called Boulevard City, which, as far as I can tell, is a sort of ersatz knockoff New York.
Okay. And give us an idea of what kind of names are going to be playing there.
Yeah, I mean, the lineup is pretty extraordinary, actually. Everyone from sort of Jimmy Carr, Jack Whitehall and Omidjalili to Louis C.K., Dave Chappelle, and Ireland's own Jim Owen, actually, is taking the Saudi coin as well.
Okay, interesting. Are there any women appearing?
There's a couple. Obviously, this is Saudi, so women weren't allowed to drive until 2018. But Whitney Cummings, who's quite a provocative American comedian whose Netflix specials are all about sex and so on, is heading out to Saudi as well.
Yeah. Now, have many of them promoted the fact that they're going to be appearing there?
Very few have promoted it. Because this is 2025, a lot of them have talked about it on either their own podcasts or the podcasts that their friends host. But the top of the bill, really famous ones, the people like Jimmy Carr and Louis C.K. really haven't even mentioned it at all, to be honest. I suspect, though I don't know, that might be because they find it easier to keep their heads down and take the money rather than sort of cause too much of a fuss about it.
And those who have addressed it, what kind of a justification have they given?
Well, there's a few sort of competing things that they've said, I suppose. Tim Dillon, who's an American comedian, is actually gay, which I thought was really interesting. He agreed to go out there and he was made no bones about it. He said it was about the money. They're offering him apparently $375,000 US.
Whoa.
To perform one gig, which, you know, is more than chump change, frankly. Others have said that their families have basically convinced them to do it on the basis that the money's really good. So a guy called Chris DiStefano said that his fiancée Jasmine had told him to do it because they were getting married and they could do it with the cash. Jim Jeffries, who's an Australian comedian but largely based in the States, took a different approach. He said that the comedians are free speech machines and that, you know, they won't be able to censor them. And I suppose this idea of comedians as a liberalizing force in a rather illiberal country is what he was saying.
Yeah. But I imagine all these people are going to be performing in English.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think Jimmy Carr's learned Arabic for this set.
Yes. So one imagines then the audience will be predominantly made of expats or, you know, the odd Saudi who can speak English well enough.
I think it'll actually largely be Saudis.
Oh.
I think the English is really, actually really rather widely spoken in Saudi. I mean, there'll obviously be quite a few expats there proportionally. But as far as I know, Saudi is not the same as Abu Dhabi or Dubai with these huge expat populations. I think it'll be much more sort of natives who are going, as well as people from the West who've moved out there in recent years.
And have any of them indicated whether the organisers of the festival want to, you know, see their material in advance or know what they're going to talk about?
Those of them who have talked about it, which is a very small minority of them, have said that basically, they've been quite coy on the censorship question. Jim Jefferies said that he hasn't been asked about what he's going to perform at all, and he wouldn't let them see it even if he did. Pete Davidson, who's another American comic, was very coy on Theo Von's podcast a couple of days ago. He basically just shrugged his shoulders when he was asked if he was going to be, having his material vetted by the authorities in advance. I mean, I suspect if they don't self-censor, if they don't get censored by the state, they will probably self-censor to an extent. I can't imagine them doing, you know, loads of jokes about people laughing their heads off or material taking the mickey out of the Crown Prince or the government or saying that, you know, sex before marriage or homosexuality is okay sort of thing.
And Pete Davidson, who you mentioned there, his father died in 9/11.
He did, yeah. He was a fireman in the New York Fire Department and was, I think Pete Davidson actually tells the story, his dad was in the first truck that got to the World Trade Center on 9/11. So the fact that, you know, Pete Davidson now has decided to take the money from Saudi, given that, you know, there's always been claim and counterclaim about the extent to which the Saudis were involved in the planning of the attacks. Obviously, most of the attackers were Saudi. Osama bin Laden was also Saudi, though by 9/11 he'd actually had his citizenship revoked. The fact that Pete Davidson is going and taking the rial is really interesting.
Yeah. Now, who's organising this festival for them?
So it's all part of the Saudi attempts to, I suppose, ingratiate itself in sports and culture more widely. Apparently, and again, the organisers, I've tried to get hold of the organisers and nobody really wants to talk about this. Apparently the organisers include a guy called Bruce Hills, who's quite a famous producer of comedy events in the States. He's a sort of highly regarded promoter. And if he's involved, that might explain why they've, well, partly explain why they've been able to get such a stellar lineup.
Yeah. Given the astronomical amounts of money they're paying for them, there's no way they're going to earn that money back.
I don't think so. Mostly because the ticket prices are actually really rather low. They start at about 100 rials, 100 Saudi rials, and go up to about 2,000 rials or something like that. And 100 rials is 20 English pounds, which is probably, what, 25 euro?
Yeah, something like that. Which, yeah. Well, I imagine a lot of these comics would charge more if they were performing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was having a look at Jimmy Carr's upcoming tour dates in the UK while I was writing this piece. And he's playing a gig the following week in Cambridge. And the cheapest tickets are £40. So, you know, twice as expensive as the cheapest tickets in Saudi.
Yeah. In the UK, among the comedy fraternity, how might people react to this? Now, Jimmy Carr has dirtied his bib on more than one occasion already, Louis C.K. similarly, but is there any pushback against this?
Not that I've been able to suss out so far, not from the comedy community, to be honest. I mean, I spoke to the outrage really was the people I spoke to at Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, the sort of charities and NGOs that have always made a point about, you know, championing human rights everywhere, but particularly somewhere in Saudi where free speech is so constrained and, you know, the rights of women and minorities are so restricted, I suppose, compared with, you know, what you get in Western Europe and so on. I mean, based on how, you know, the last few weeks have gone in the build-up to this festival, I suspect people would just largely ignore it.
Yeah.
You know, just sort of shrug their shoulders. You know, you either take the money and you hold your nose, or you decide that, you know, the money's not, even this amount of money, isn't worth it. And you just don't make a big fuss about it.
And Human Rights Watch has tried to contact some of these people.
Yeah, they said that they wrote to the comedians on the bill to ask them, or rather, wrote to the comedians' management, publicists, agents, whatever, and asked them to have a meeting with them to discuss, you know, the human rights situation in in Saudi, which obviously I suspect all your listeners will be very well aware of.
Sure.
And to also sort of champion the causes of some political activists in Saudi who've been imprisoned just for, you know, dissenting against the government. But apparently nobody even bothered to reply to that. Hmm. So
Are there any Saudi-based comedians? Is there a kind of a local scene?
There isn't much of a local scene. I mean, the guy that was... there's a guy called Fahad Al-Buteri who popped up a few years ago now, actually. And he was sort of hailed in the American press as being the Seinfeld of Saudi Arabia. He, you know, was the first professional Saudi comedian to play on stage in the country. And, you know, he started getting a bit of crossover in the West and that sort of thing. But he, you know, even his career seems to have really suffered under the current regime, because in 2018 he was in Jordan and was abducted by agents of the Saudi regime, it's alleged. Partly because his wife at the time was a very prominent women's rights activist who had, again, it's alleged that she displeased the regime. And then he basically disappeared from view for a very long time. And, you know, it's sort of his entire career seems to have been curtailed, basically.
Yeah. Have many comedians refused the offer?
I'm sure plenty have. Not many have publicly said that they turned down the money. Though I suppose the most prominent one is Shane Gillis, who, interestingly, you know, he's again another very famous American comedian, and he's worked a lot with Pete Davidson actually on a TV show in the States. And Gillis came out and said that he turned down a quote significant amount of money, and when he turned it down, they increased the significance, I suppose. Hmm. And he said, "You don't 9/11 your friends."
Yeah. So odd. Liam Kelly is senior culture writer for The Daily Telegraph. Liam, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
A few comments on that. Yeah, we'll get a flight to Saudi for a cheap ticket to a comedy gig, says one texter. Somebody else wonders, do these comedians realise that if they say something controversial, the consequences they could suffer? Possibly they do. So there may be a degree of self-censorship when they actually take to the stage. Whatever about the low-level earners being tempted by a solid pay bay, there's no excuse for the big earners up the top. Everybody has got a price, but this is a bit much like the golfers. Yeah, perhaps. Now, they reckon that, like, the likes of Jimmy Carr. Now, one of the comedians who was offered a place to go and I think refused it, but he was claiming that, you know, that Jimmy Carr and the likes are getting a million each to do this, which obviously wouldn't recoup the price of the ticket. Pete Davidson just shows that everyone has a price. Another texter says, I'm always amazed at the amount of people who travel to these places on holiday in full knowledge that basic human rights are not being respected. Disgraceful. I suppose there's a lot of countries you could go on holidays too, where the human rights record wouldn't be fantastic, in fairness now. I'm not justifying Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, like, sticks out like a sore thumb.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.